Welcome to a powerful message from the Lighthouse Chapel International, Bronx North Branch. Lighthouse Chapel International branches worldwide provide every member the training, support, and encouragement to fulfill the Great Commission and to go to heaven and hear Jesus say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Join us for a life-changing experience as you listen to this message.
Our beloved Father, please come down and lead us. We are waiting on your touch.
May you have a personal touch with every heart that is here. Transform us. Speak to us. We thank you. We bless you. I avail myself, Spirit of God. Take control. I am empty. I have nothing in me. May you use me and speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Wonderful. Why don't you sit down for some time to receive the word of God. We want to share the word of God for a very short time period. I have some important announcements, but I think why don't you put a pause for a minute? Let me give you this important announcement for a brief moment, and we will go home. Amen. Amen. And I believe we'll be blessed. You know, for some time now, I think for last several weeks on our weekday service, we've been talking a lot about love. Hallelujah. I believe 2 weeks ago we talked about love. Love your enemies. And I want you to change the title you put on the podcast. It's Love Your Enemies. For the message we preach on April 5th, I believe, April 5th. The words of Jesus. It is indeed the words of Jesus, but the title of the message is Love Your Enemies. And I think we've been sharing a lot about love. Even in our Sunday services, we've been talking a lot about love. And I believe it is something that the Lord is pressing upon my heart to talk about. And I am, by the grace of God, I am going to continue in that same light. We also talked last week about how to identify a church of Christ. It is how to identify a church of Christ. Last week we talked about how to identify a church of Christ. And we said that the one characteristic thing about the church of Christ is the presence of God. And the presence of God means the presence of love. Hallelujah. That is how you identify a church that belongs to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And as we are sharing, you see, as we are sharing and sharing on these topics, I am praying that our lives will actually change. Our lives will actually be transformed. Hallelujah. I am praying that our minds will change and our attitude towards love will change. Our understanding of love will change. It will not just be a mere saying. It will not be something that we just say, but that we have an understanding, that we are rooted in the understanding of love. Hallelujah. I think it is very, very important that we do not take these messages lightly. Hallelujah. We do not take these messages lightly. Amen. And as a pastor, I will, by the grace of God, make every effort to try to make you understand this. Amen. Because it is very, very important. It's very, very important, these messages that we are sharing. Hallelujah. And so you will find out that we will repeat certain things, but it is for your own benefit. It is for your sake that you be rooted in love. Hallelujah. You see, now look at yourself. Look at yourself on a Tuesday evening. It was even raining. I'm not sure about up here, I mean, how it was, but it was raining up north. You know, it was raining. And some of you went to work. You know, some of you worked the night before, and then you slept for some few hours, and you are here. You see? Now look at all the things that we are doing. Some of you drove here. You know, you bought gas. You actually bought gas in your car and you actually made a mind to drive to church with your car. You see, some of you even drove to pick up people to bring them here. It cost you money. It cost you something. It cost you time. Especially in a country that we live in, time is of value. Hallelujah. And so if you will look at all these things, and we come and we go, we come and we go, and we are still the same, and nothing has changed in our lives, and we are as just as anyone else, then we are really wasting our time. You see, then we could do other things and enjoy. Do you see? We could do other things because there are other things that you can do besides being in the church on a Tuesday evening. Do you see? James chapter 1 and verse 20. James chapter 1, verse 20. Book of James, chapter 1 and verse 20. It says, "For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." Means the anger in us, you know, when we are filled with wrath, it does not work the righteousness of God. It does not bring any righteousness of God when we are filled with anger. As a result, it says, "Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with what? With meekness. Receive with meekness, or receive with all humility. Receive with humility the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls." Hallelujah. It says, receive with meekness. You know, we need to have humility in order to change. If the word of God is going to have any effect in our lives, we need to have humility. We need to be humble. Hallelujah. It says, receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. That is the only thing that can save your souls. And we ought to preach it to you. Because the reason why you are a Christian is that your soul will be saved. Amen. And what can save your soul is the engrafted word of God. And the way to receive the engrafted word of God is through humility. It is when we are humble, that is when the word of God can have effect on us. You see, and sometimes when the word of God comes, it comes with rebuke. The Bible says that a sharper than two-edged sword. Sometimes it can discern your heart. You know, things that you have not mentioned to anyone, the word of God can discern it. Do you see? And then you sit there and then, what a shock. You know, you just say it to yourself. And then you feel like, you know, somebody has told the pastor about your story. But that is the word of God. Because what it is seeking to do is to save your soul. What it is trying to do is to search your inner part. You see, God does not look at the outward. On the outward, everyone is nice. You see, as we are here, you cannot tell anyone by looking at their face that they can insult. You see? That they really can insult someone. You cannot tell by looking at their faces that when they are driving and somebody crosses them, they will just say, "Praise the Lord." You know, they look like they all will say, "Praise the Lord," and they'll be driving on. You understand what I'm sharing with you? So none of us look like that. We don't look like that. But God knows who we are. And so he searches the heart. He searches the heart. And then he will bring his word. And the word will change what is in your heart. That is the purpose of the word of God. That is the purpose of the engrafted word of God. And so sometimes you have some plans. You have made some plans. You know, you have made some plans. And you have made some decisions. You say, As for men, I will not trust men again in my life. You see, but you see, God did not make you like that. God did not make you that someone will hurt you so much that now you don't even trust men at all. Sometimes you don't even say it to anyone. But God knows what is in your heart. And so he will bring a word. He will bring a word and then he will search what is in your heart. And he say, you don't trust men. And then you say, and then sometimes you can be arguing with God. You see, as you are sitting there, you are arguing. Hallelujah. And as you are sitting there, you feel that word is coming to you. But don't fight it. You see, because it is pride that makes us fight the word of God. Hallelujah. And so he says, receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. I think we have heard a lot. I think if God were to look upon this church, he should see a lot of saints. He should see holy people. He should see people who do not get angry beyond 6 p.m. You see, that because those are the kinds of people that he has spoken to. He should see people who, when they are down, they will still come. He should see people who trust in him. Amen. Because we have heard a lot. In this church, we have heard a lot. Amen. It says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. If you do that, you are deceiving your own self. It says, if you hear the word and you don't do it, mind you are not deceiving anyone. You receive the word, and what is in your heart is still what is in your heart. You are not deceiving anyone. You deceive your own self. Because you see, you think that as I am there, you see, when you look at me, you don't know what is in my heart. And so I think I have deceived the people. They think I am so holy. You see? And in my heart, maybe I'm not that holy. But God knows. So I am deceiving myself. Because the one who looks in the heart, he knows that you, this man, you are not holy. Hallelujah. I'm not using you for example, and then I'm using myself as an example. I am unholy. Hallelujah. Do you see? And so God sees what is in our heart. He says, if we know what is in our heart, and we have heard, he has spoken to us. You see, we sang and we say, Holy Spirit, we welcome you. This is your house. This is your home. Have your way. And he's having his way and he's talking to you. And what is in your heart is still what is in your heart. Then you deceive yourself. He says, don't think you have deceived anyone. That now you will not wear short skirts anymore, so they will know that you are holy. But what is in your heart? He knows what is in your heart. Amen. He says, we ought to be doers and not hearers. He says, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself. He says, if we hear the word and we don't do the word, then we are likened unto, or we are compared, or we become like a man who looks in a mirror and sees his own face. His natural face without the makeup. You see, his natural face without the lipstick. His natural face without the extension and the eyebrow or the eyelashes. His natural face without the trimming or the extra hair or anything else. But you behold your natural face. This is when you wake up in the morning and you have not put your eyelash extension, you have not put your eyebrows, you have not put your lipstick, you have not put your makeup. You wake up early in the morning as you are brushing your teeth. Even the teeth, you have not put it there yet. You see? You are just brushing your gum. Your gum. Amen. So you behold your your natural face. You behold your natural face, and then you see how it looks like. You see everything pure. And then you walk away, forgetting how it looks like. You walk away, you knew how the natural face looks like. That you didn't, the teeth needs to be there. You are walking away, forgetting that the teeth has not been put there. Forgetting that, as for you, if you don't put the lipstick, it makes your face. You have not put the eyelashes. Is it not eyelashes? You have not put it. And then you saw all of this in the mirror. And then you just walk away and you go and stand in the subway. And then somebody greets you and you smile. You smile. And you forget that. You forget that I didn't put. You see, you forget. Hallelujah. You say straightway, just as you hear. And a lot of times, that is what we do. We hear, we come, and straightway we walk away, forgetting what was in our heart, what the Holy Spirit was trying to get out of our heart. And straightway we forget. Beloved, let us not do that. He says that if we do that, we deceive our own selves. Says you forget the manner of man, the manner. You forget how you are. You know you are a quarrelsome person, and you came, and then the word was about quarrelsomeness, and the Spirit spoke to you, and then you felt it, and then some instances even came in your mind. You see, they were not accidental instances. The Spirit brought them to your mind. See, and then it comes and says, "This is what I'm talking about." Sometimes the Spirit gives you examples. He said, "This is what I'm talking about. You remember your incident with this person? That's what I'm talking about. Remember how you went by this person? You remember what you said to this person? This is what." And the Spirit is reminding you all these instances. And then you walk out. And straightway you forgot the manner of person that you are. He says, you forget the manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continuing therein. You see, continuing therein means, you see, as you live here, you are meditating on what you heard. The perfect law of liberty, you continue in it. As you are going, you are meditating on it. Hey, the word came powerfully to me. The Lord spoke to me. I think I must do something about this. What am I going to do to make this better? What am I going to do to change this? And you continue thinking about it. And sometimes you continue in it even to your sleep. And the Lord will visit you. And then he will speak to you in your dreams. He says you continue therein. He, being not a forgetful. How can you be a forgetful hearer? You cannot be a forgetful hearer. You are meditating on the word. Even as you are living, you are meditating on the word. He said, he not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. I tell you, if you meditate on the word, you will become a doer of the word. He says, and a doer of the word. He says, this man, point to your neighbor and say, this man. You see, I want to tell you that God is not confused at all about who he's blessing. He is not confused about who he is blessing. He is pointing directly with his finger. He says, this man, this woman. He says, this man, this woman. He is pointing directly. He says, this man, this woman. He is not confused at all. And it's not vaguely, we are blessed. Oh, how was the message? Powerful. We were blessed. No. God is not confused about who he's blessing. He says, this man, this particular man, the one who looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continuing therein, not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word. The Bible says, this man, God is pointing. He says, this man. You see, he's not confused at all, which man. And he's giving you the detailed description of that particular man that he's talking about. He says, this man, he is blessed in his deed. That means that the things that he will do, the Lord will bless them. Why would he bless him? Because he came and he spoke to him and it went into his heart and he meditated on it and he did not forget it and he became a doer of the word. He made effort. It was difficult. He was trying even to make amends with this person who supposedly he's not talking to or she's not talking to. She's trying and he's trying and he's meditating on it and he's thinking of how can I make this better? What can I do to make the person now know that I really love him or I really love her? What can I do now of all the damage that I've made? What can I do to really rectify the past? What this person is meditating on the word. And the Bible says that such a person, whatever he does, the Lord will bless it. He says that man, that particular man, he will be blessed in his deed. He will be blessed in his day. He says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridled not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. We don't have a vain religion. Hallelujah. Amen. We do not have a vain religion. Amen. So, beloved, I want us to really make effort that when we hear the word of God, we will make effort to do what we hear. That we will not be doing, let it not be just routine thing that we do, that we just come to church and we go home. We come to church, we hear powerful preaching, we hear, we laugh, we are happy, and we go home, and we are still the same. We are still the same. It is not a good thing. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 5. He says, but whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. He says, the person who keeps his word, in him verily, truthfully, is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. This is how we know that we are in God. He says, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. If we say we abide in Christ, if we say we are forever in Christ, then we should walk here on earth just as Jesus Christ also walked here on earth. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Do you understand what I'm sharing with you? So this evening, I want us to share. This was just, by the way, I just want us to. Oh, you don't like my message? Oh, I'm going to preach to you. I just wanted to share briefly. The greatest of all is love. The greatest of all is love. The greatest of all is love. Hallelujah. The greatest of all is love. Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22 and verse number 34. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 34. Are you there? Matthew chapter 22 and verse 34. The Bible says, but when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, you know, these people, their names are very, very interesting, you know. The far to see and the sad to see. Mercy. So then when the Pharisees and had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. They came together with extra forces against him. And the next verse, then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, lawyers have always been asking questions, tempting you to say something. It's a very historical thing. It's not new. He says, tempting him, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Which is the great commandment in the law? Now he asks a very powerful question. You see, even though his mind was to test him, I think it was a very wonderful question because it brought some powerful answer to us. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with what? All thy heart. With all thy heart. And you see, with all your heart. Not part of it. Jesus is not talking about part of it. He said, thou shalt love the word. He said, you want to know what is the greatest commandment? Then the one who has the marking scheme, the one who has seen the Father checking roles and checking marks and giving grace, he's giving you the marking scheme. He says, this is the greatest commandment. He says, Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. Hallelujah. He says, you ought to love the Lord thy God. He says, you want to know what is the greatest commandment? You ought to love the Lord thy God with all your heart. All your heart means don't leave room for anything else. It means that everything else that your heart would desire, leave it to him. But for him, love him with all of your heart. Because when you give him all of your heart, he will know your heart desires. He will know what else that you need. But since he has your heart to himself, it becomes his responsibility now to give you what else that your heart will need. So he says, give him all of your heart. Give him all of your heart. You see, but we don't give him our heart. We don't give him our heart. There are certain things that our heart desire, and they come before the Lord. Amen. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? When your heart desires something, I tell you, you go after that thing. When a man sees a woman that he likes, that is, he says, my heart is after this woman. I tell you, it is not an easy thing. The man will travel. You know, I have seen people travel to outer lands. They travel. You know, people will fly from Africa to the United States, and they say they are coming for vacation. And when you dig in and you find out, they came because of love, because of their heart desire, something that their heart is after. You see, when your heart is after something, you see, you don't want to leave the presence of the thing. You see, when your heart is after something, when you go to your beloved's house, you see, as soon as you get there, you take your jacket off, like you have come to stay. You see, I'm not leaving now. Do you see? Like, I'm not leaving now. You take your shoes off, you know, and get some table to rest your feet and relax. Like, I'm not going anywhere. You see, and even when the time comes for you to leave, you don't want to go. And you want to stay longer. Do you see? And I am dying to see a day that we come to church and we say our heart is after God and the service is over. And then, oh, just now? Oh, how can the service be over? But you see, sometimes we sit here and we yawn. And then we look at our time. And we say our heart is after God. Hallelujah. I remember when my heart was after something. When my heart was after that thing. Oh man. You go to the person's house. And then you stay there and stay there and stay there. Until you realize that this time even your household will be looking for you. And then you say, okay, now let me go. And then the person says, okay, let me see you off. And then the person will see you off. And then as almost close to your house. And then the person says, I'm going. Oh, are you going? Okay, then let me see you off. And then you go, I go and see the person off. And then I go and see the person off. And say, you almost got to my house. Now let me see you off again. And at some point, you get to a point, and then the person is there like this. The person is supposed to go. You are supposed to go. Oh, are you going? Oh, are you going? You see, you don't even want to go. And then you say, okay, you go. I say, okay, you go. You go. You go first. You go first. You say, you go first. Okay, I'm going. Okay, how about you go? You go. That is when your heart is after something. Hallelujah. Amen. You see, that is the kind of love that God has for us. You see, the love that God has for us, he says, I would never ever leave you. I would never ever forsake you. He says that my dwelling place will be a temple in you. He says, you are my dwelling place. Because I want to always be with you. I want to be with you wherever you go. Wherever, in the secret places, I want to be there. Anything that you are doing, I want to be involved in it. My heart is after you. I love you and I want to be with you. That is the kind of love that God has for us. Hallelujah. But we are so quick to part with him. We are so quick to depart from his house. And we say our heart. He says, all your heart. And then he says, and with all your soul. All your soul. Your soul. Your soul involves your emotions. Your souls. You see, the things that make you cry. You see, the things that touch your heart. You know, sometimes some of you can sit in a movie and you cry. Movies can touch your heart and you cry. Hallelujah. Especially women, a lot of things make them cry easily. Easily, then they are crying. But you see, you should be able to worship God and cry. You know, your worship and your relationship with God should touch you such that tears should come down. Hallelujah. That tears should come down. Amen. And you should not be ashamed. You are in the presence of your Father. You are in the presence of your loving Father. And your emotions. You see, there are certain things that, you see, when we say, give the Lord a shout. Some people don't even want to shout. But there are other things that touch you and you can shout. Hallelujah. There are certain things that can make you shout. Amen. But he says, love him with all your soul and with all your mind. That means as soon as you rise up, the Lord should be on your mind. That's the first thing that should come on your mind. That means that's the first thing that you want to have something to do with. It means that your quiet time should be one of the first activities of your day. After you have polished yourself, after you have washed yourself and you feel you should be able to fellowship with him. You should be able to talk to him in the morning. You should be able to go on your knees and you say, I'm leaving. I want you to be with me. I'm going out. I'm going into the world. But I want you to be with me. Hallelujah. He says, love him with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And then he says, this is the first and great commandment. This is the first and great commandment. Loving God is the first and great commandment. But it's not just loving God, but loving God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Hallelujah. Other version, they say, and with all your might. That means with your strength. It means that it is okay to be tired for God. Hallelujah. It means that you have used your strength and to serve God. It means that it's okay to go to church on Sunday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday. It means it's okay. It is okay. You are loving God with your strength. It means that you are doing the right thing. Hallelujah. Because I believe you can love your beloved with all your strength. You can go to your beloved's house. If she demands that, come and see me 7 days in a week, you will go. Hallelujah. She doesn't even need to demand. You find him coming. Coming. And then sometimes you even want to kick him out. You say, it's too much. It's too much. You see? It's too much. You find people very tired, sleepy, and they are talking to their beloved on the phone. They are very sleepy, very tired, and they are on the phone. And the phone will die, and they will plug the phone in. And then they will go by where the plug is, because the phone cannot reach the bed. Because of your beloved, your mattress, your bed that is warm and nice, you will not sleep on it. You will sleep on the ground, so you can talk to someone that you love. Sometimes you sleep and the person is talking. You are because you are tired. But you see, when it comes to God, you say, I am too tired. I can't come to church today. All night phone call. You can talk to your beloved all night. But if you cannot have all night to the God that you say you love, you cannot have an all night with him. You cannot have all night with him. But you have overnight to the 4 a.m. talking. Hallelujah. Amen. He says, this is the first and great commandment. And the next verse, he says, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. He says the second is compared to it. It's like this first one. It's as important as this first one. That you love your neighbor just as you love yourself. If you don't want someone to gossip about you, it means don't gossip about your neighbor. You see, Jesus is so wise. You know, he says, love your neighbor just as you love yourself. So you look at the things that you like, that you want others to do to you, it means do those things to your neighbor. Hallelujah. Do those things to your neighbor. He says, and this is equally important. He says, you want to know what is a great commandment? I'm giving you the great commandment. And then the next verse, he says, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. He says, on these two commandments about loving God and loving your neighbor, he says, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. What is the law? The law is the word of God. The prophet is the word of God. If you read the book of Psalms, David is always referring to the word of God as the law. Sometimes he says, there's your statutes, your judgments, you see, your ordinances. You see, he says, all of these things, all the law, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's property, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not fornicate, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not do this, thou shalt. He says, all these things, you have to pray. If you pray, ask your Father in heaven to give you your daily bread about forgiveness. It says, all these things that are written in the law, all the things that the prophets have written about, everything hang on these two commandments. Hallelujah. Hang on these two commandments. It means praise the Lord. Sing, O ye, unto the Lord. Lift up your hands and lift up and bring glory unto the Lord. Sing unto the Lord. Praise. Play instrument. Play the harps unto the Lord. It means all these things that we do, everything that has been written in the law, they hang on this. Hallelujah. That means that everything that we have to do, it must be based on our love for God and our love for our neighbor. The whole of the word of God is about loving God and loving your neighbor, just as you love yourself. And I believe it is very, very important. Hallelujah. I say it is very, very important. 1 John chapter 4 and verse, let's read Ephesians chapter 3 verse 17 first. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 17. It says we ought to love God. We have to have love in us. We have to love. We have to have love in us. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 17. It says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That ye, being rooted and grounded in love. You ought to be rooted and grounded in love. You ought to be rooted. You see, love has to be something that you are rooted in. It means that you have to make every effort to be rooted in love. You see, I don't know how to stress it to you, but love is so important to God. He says everything that we are doing, it is based on love. Or it must be based on love. He says we ought to be rooted. He said that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith. Now, Christ dwelling in our hearts by faith and by the grace of God, I believe everyone that is here is a born-again Christian. That means that you have lifted up your hand and you have said a sinner's prayer and you invited Christ to dwell in your hearts. By faith, you are saved. And he says, for that, he says, then you ought to be rooted and grounded in love. Be rooted and grounded in love. That what? May be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. Next verse. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. That is the place where we ought to be, John. That we have the fullness of God. Now, God is love. So when we have the fullness of God, it means that we now become love. When people look at us, they see love. When people talk to us, they hear love. When people relate to us, they relate with love. That we are now having the fullness of God. We ought to have the fullness of God. Hallelujah. We ought to be grounded in love. Amen. We ought to be grounded in love because love is the thing. I say love is the thing. Love is the most important thing. Love is the greatest of all. Hallelujah. And we ought to be rooted in love. Amongst all the things that we do, we ought to be rooted and grounded in love. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 16. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 16. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 16. 1 John, 1 John chapter 4. Am I preaching to somebody? 1 John chapter 4, and I want to read from verse 16. It says, and we have seen and do testify. Oh, sorry, verse 16. It says, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. Hallelujah. You see, when we have the fullness of God, we will be like him in this world, just as he is. Even though we are in this world, we are not of this world. We will be like him. And as a result, we will have the boldness. You see, it is love that will give us the boldness. The boldness on the judgment day. The boldness to face God on the judgment day. It comes when we are filled with love. If we are going to face God with boldness and with confidence on the judgment day, then it must be that we have the fullness of God. It must be that the love that we have, it has been made perfect in God. Hallelujah. It means that God's love has been perfected in us. That is how we are going to stand boldly. And beloved, if you do not intend that you are going to stand boldly, then you are wasting your time. If you do not intend Or you cannot say that on the judgment day you are going to stand boldly. Then you need to work on something that is in you. Because it says that, and we have, and it says, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. As he is, so are we in this world. Hallelujah. As he is, so are we in this world. We have to have boldness in the day of judgment. Amen. Amen. It's like preparing for examination. Desmond, it's like you are studying for examination. And on the day of the examination, you see, on the day of examination, three kinds of people go to the examination room. Do you see? On the day of examination, you will find groups of people. You can separate them, the entire examination room, into three groups of people. One group, it will be the group which come in with boldness and confidence. Do you see? Hallelujah. The first group comes in with boldness and with confidence because they are rooted and grounded in the material. You see, they know that they have studied the thing, not Apo. Because Apo can also fail you. Apo can fail you. Amen. And Apo does not prevail in every nation also. You see. So you see, that the group of people who come with boldness, they are rooted and they are grounded. And he says that they have the fullness of the material. They have what they need. And so they enter the exam room with boldness and with confidence. You see? And so what such people, when they enter the exam room, you can see that, you know, they have come. They have come. Amen. They have come. And you can tell that these people, they are going to score the thing. They come with, even when they can't wait to receive the exam papers. They can't wait, you know. And then they put it down and they put their pencils and they set everything down. Sometimes they open their shirts and they start. You see, when they start, you see that they don't look around. Their face is in the book like that. And they have boldness. Hallelujah. Amen. You see, and they have the confidence. But there's another group also. You see, there's another group. As they are coming, they know they didn't study the material. They come unprepared. And so they come with fear and trembling. When they hear that the Lord is coming, they are with fear and trembling. They are not prepared. Do you see? They are not prepared. They are not rooted. They are not grounded. They don't have the material. Amen. And there is a third group. You see, this second group, which come not prepared, sometimes even when they enter the exam room, you can see that they are not prepared. And when they sit down, they will never look in their papers. When they sit down, they look at the time and they look at people, you know, and they are looking at who is closer, you see. And you see, these days when they're taking exams, they give one row, one set of questions, and another row, a different set of questions. And you have to write your booklet number on your exam sheet, or the answer sheet. But they can copy the exams for the next row onto their paper. You see? They are not prepared. And there is a third group of people. The third group of people are the people who also enter with boldness and with confidence, but they are strong in something. But they are not strong in the writing. Hallelujah. I said they are strong in something, but they are not strong in the writing. Amen. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? They come also with boldness. They come with confidence. And they have strength. But they are strong in the wrong thing. And I believe that most of us fall in the third category. I say most of us Christians fall in the third category. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. First Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And let's read from verse number 27. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 27. I want to read out from the New Living Translation, the first chapter. It says, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 27. Are you there? Wonderful. And I want to read from the New Living Translation. It says, all of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. Here are some of the parts God has appointed for the church. Do you see? First are apostles. It means that some of us ought to be apostles. It says, second are prophets. Some of us ought to be prophets. Third are teachers. Some of us ought to be teachers. Then those who do miracles. Some of us ought to do miracles. Then those who have the gift of healing. Some of us ought to have that gift of healing. Those who can help others. Some of us are helpers. They give themselves. Those who have the gift of leadership, some of us ought to lead. These are gifts. Not everyone can lead. Those who speak in unknown languages, or some who speak in tongues, there are some that don't speak in tongues. He says, those who speak in tongues. And then he says, verse 29, are we all apostles? Yes or no? Are we all prophets? Are we all teachers? Do we all have the power to do miracles? Do we all have the gift of healing? Do we all have the ability to speak in unknown languages? Do we all have the ability to interpret unknown languages? Of course not. So you should earnestly desire most helpful gifts. Do you see? So you see, these are wonderful and helpful gifts. Do you see? It says gifts. And we should earnestly desire most helpful gifts. These gifts that God has given to us, we should earnestly desire to have them. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? So, and we ought to be strong in these gifts also. Then the next sentence says, but now, let me show you a way of life that is best of all. He says, but now let me show you a way of life that is best of all. You ought to become a prophet. You ought to become a teacher. You ought to become a miracle worker. You ought to become a helper. You ought to become teachers. You ought to have all these gifts. But now let me show you a way of life that is best of all. Best of all these gifts. How many of you want to know that gift? Go to verse chapter 13, the next chapter. He says, I'm going to show you a way of life that is best of all. And so he says, if I could speak all the languages of the earth and of angels, does it sound like some of you who speak in unknown languages? Does it sound like someone who has a gift of unknown language? He says, if I could speak that unknown language but did not love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanching cymbal. He says, if I covet this gift and I don't have love, I will become a noisy cymbal, a noisy gong or a tinkling cymbal. If I had a gift of prophecy and if I understood all of God's secret plans, come on. How many of you feel if I understand all of God's secret plans, I'll be a very powerful? If I came to you and I say, you will receive a letter tomorrow. You receive a letter. And the letter will say you have a job. And the job, you're going to need a suit and a tie, black suit and a tie. They will not allow you to wear yellow ties. You have to wear maybe dark colored ties only. They will state that in the letter. And they will call you for an appointment. an interview for this day. Don't worry about that interview. They'll give you that job because it's been given to you. The letter will come in Tuesday, next week. And then next week, Tuesday, the man receives the letter. And all the details that I gave, they are in the letter. How many of you agree with me that he will come to church every time that I am here? How many of you agree with me that he will bring a lot of people to come to church? How many of you agree with me that he will say, Reverend, when can I come and clean your house for you? And he will come and clean my house. Amen. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? So that will sound like a very powerful person. Someone who knows all the secrets, who knows the secrets, understand the secret plans that God has for him. He knows the secret plans that God has for you. And possess all knowledge. And if I had such faith that I could move mountains, and I say, there is a mountain that stands in your way, and it's preventing you from doing A, B, C, and D. Today, that mountain is removed. And then tomorrow, you could, for your all your life, you have not been able to do A, B, C, and D. And as soon as I profess this, tomorrow you are doing A, B, C, and D. How many of you agree with me that I'll be a very powerful man? You call me Prophet One. Hallelujah. And it says, even if I'm able to, I have faith that I could move mountains, but didn't love others, I will be nothing. If I give everything I have to the poor, does it sound like a gift of helpers? If I give everything I have to the poor and even sacrifice my body, I could boast about it. It means that I will sacrifice my life. I say I travel miles to come and preach, and I preach powerfully, and he said, you enjoy my preaching and you are blessed, and I pray for you, and it came to pass, and all sorts of wonders are happening, and I'm doing all this, and I do not have love. He says, I sacrifice my body and I boast about it, but if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Hallelujah. He says, I would have gained nothing. And it is because of this that some people enter, they come in the exam room with that confidence and with that boldness. And they come in and they say, I can prophesy. I can do wonders. I cause things to come to pass. I prophesy and it comes to pass. I preach and the people are blessed. I preach and the people are falling. I preach and I touch and they are healed. And I do this and I cast out demons. And so you have that confidence that the Lord is with you. And then you come in. I say, there are people that come in with boldness, but they'll be surprised that the exam material was not like that. They'll be surprised that the exam material was not like that. And I say, Christians will enter into the exam room and find out that the exam material was not like that. Matthew chapter 7, the last scripture, and we can go home. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. I say, Christians, we don't want to come into the exam room and the material is different from what we are told. That is why I am sharing with you. That is why, as a pastor, I am telling you what the material entails. I am telling you what material you need to learn. What is the syllabus? What is the marking scheme? It is my responsibility to show you. Matthew 7 and 21. You see, I'm going to show you some Christians who came in with that boldness, with that confidence, and they thought they were strong in certain things, and they were rooted in certain things, and they were surprised. He says, not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven. I'm trying to read that from the New the King James Version. He says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many, 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 you see, Christians, only Christians will appear and have these things to say. I'm telling you. He says, many will say to me in that day, on the examination day, in the examination room, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Was I not rooted in prophecies? Was I not grounded in prophecies? Was I not strong in prophecies? You will come boldly and you say, Lord, Lord, was I not strong and prophesied in prophecies and prophesy in your name? Call upon your name and prophesy upon people and it came to pass. It says, and in thy name have cast out devils. And in thy name done many wonderful works. Did I not do many wonderful works in your name? I said, people will come strong and bold with confidence into the exam room and they'll be shocked. They'll be shocked. He says, and cast out devils. Cast out devils. Cast out devils in your name. And in thy name done many wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them. It says, I'll profess unto them. Means I will make it publicly. I will say it in front of everyone. I will say it aloud and say, I never knew you. It says, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. He says, I never knew you. I never knew you means the past. It means that all the while that you were preaching and you say you were traveling all these many miles and you say you were healing and you were casting devils in the name and you were praying for people, you did. But I never knew you. He says, I never knew you, Joyce. Claire, he says, I never knew you. He says, all those years, he said, Lord, don't you remember I used to stand here and singing? Lord, I'm the one that always was lifting her left hand when I was singing. Lord, every all night I was there. When it came to giving, I was giving. When it came to healing Jesus, I was Lord, I was a board member. I was a partner. Healing Jesus, I was a partner. Orphanage, I was a partner. Lord, don't you remember these things? Laba Laba Project, I contributed big time. I was at every camp, Lord. I have listened to every one of Bishop's messages. This is what they told us to do. I did all of those things. He says, I never knew you. All those years, I never knew you. I never knew you. He says, I never knew you. It will be very, very sad. I say, it will be very, very sad. That is why I'm telling you. So you see, you cannot go before the Lord and say, my pastor never told me that the greatest of all is love. You cannot appear before the Lord and say, Lord, I never knew. I thought I needed a gift of prophecy. I could prophesy. I thought I needed the gift of a miracle worker. I could heal people. I thought I could help, and that was enough. But he says, I never knew you all the while because you never had any relationship with me. The relationship you have with him is to love the Father and love your neighbor. He says, these three things will abide. 1 Corinthians 13 and 13. He says, these three things will abide. Faith, hope, love. But the greatest of all is love. Put your hands together for the Lord. Let's stand and pray. Ask the Lord to help you. There are certain things that are in your heart. Let us not be hearers only. Let us not be hearers only. Beloved, let us not waste our time. Let us not waste our time. Let us not waste our time. Then the unbelievers, they are far better off than us. Because they are enjoying their lives now. They are having fun. And we are sacrificing. We are losing. And we are dying for the Lord. Let it not be a waste. He said, the greatest of all is love. 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 Oh, praise someone, pray and ask the Lord. The greatest of all, 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 the greatest of all. He says, the greatest of all, let it be your prayer this evening. What hinders you? What stands in your way? He says, the greatest of all is love. He says, yes, you do so many things for me. You do so many things in my church. You do so many things. You read your word. You study the word. You teach the word. You are rooted in the word. But you do not have love in you. He says, you give gifts. You give offerings. You pay your tithe. You do everything. But the greatest of all, he said, the greatest of all, the greatest of all, is love
for you.
Think I choose to be,
I
choose to be, Lord,
holy,
set
apart for you.
Lord, I choose to be.
Is that your choice this evening? Is that your choice this evening? Is that your choice? The Spirit has spoken to us. The Spirit has spoken to you. Do not live here with the same heart just as you came. Do not live here with the same heart. Do not live here with the same bitterness. Do not live here with the same hatred. Do not live here with the same relationship. May that relationship change. May the relationship be transformed. Oh, yes. Our love for God. How do we stand? Where does God stand in our lives? Do we love Him with all of our hearts? Do we love Him with all of our mind? Do we love Him with all of our soul? With our emotions? With our strength? With our mind? Do we love God with all of our heart? Is all you are. Is He all that we are in His eyes? Is God all that He is in your life? Oh,
pure God,
Lord,
refine and inspire,
Lord,
my heart's one desire,
oh,
is to.
Lord,
holy Lord, set apart for you, my master.
I'm
ready to do your will.
Help us to do your will, Lord.
Ready to do your
cry, Lord, we are
ready to do your will.
Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you. Spirit of God, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your word that has come over us. We thank you, Lord, for speaking to our hearts. Oh, Spirit of God, touch your children, transform our hearts this evening. Change us, mold us, oh God. Father, hatred that is in us, oh God. The bitterness that is in us, oh God. Father, transform us, change us, Lord. Father, may we not miss that day, oh God. May we not miss, may you not say to us, oh, I knew you not. May you not say that to us, oh Lord. May we never encounter those sayings from you, oh God. But when we face you, Lord, may we face you with boldness. May we face you with confidence. On the judgment day, oh God, may we come with confidence. May we come with boldness. Father, may our work and our travail, may it not be in vain. Father, our going and our coming, may it not be in vain. The time that we spend in your presence, may it not be in vain. But we pray, Holy Spirit, that you help us. Father, in the areas where we are weak, oh Lord, may you strengthen us. I pray, oh God, that you rebuild all our relationships that have gone sour. Father, may we be filled with the love of God. May we have the fullness of you, oh God. May we be filled with the love of God. May the Spirit of God fill our hearts. May you fill us, oh God. May you fill us, oh God. Spirit of God, fill your children. Fill your children. Oh, may every spirit that is not of God, we uproot that spirit from our hearts. In the name of Jesus, we leave no room for any other spirit. But may the Spirit of God take control of our lives. May the Spirit of God take control of our minds. May the Spirit of God take control of our strength. May the Spirit of God take control of our minds. May the Spirit of God take control of our emotions. May the Spirit of God take control of our whole being, oh God. May we serve you, Lord, with love. May we worship you with love. May we always come before you with love. Help us, Lord, to love our neighbors. Help us, Lord, to love our neighbors. Help us, oh God. We avail our hearts to you. We say, cleanse us, oh Lord, from all the filthiness and the superfluity of nothingness. Cleanse us from all the filthiness, Lord, and fill us with the Spirit of God. Fill us. Fill us. Fill us, Lord. Fill us. Fill us, oh God. We thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. If there's anyone here this evening, you want to give your life to Jesus, let me see by show of hands. Your right hand, lift up your right hand and I'll pray with you. You are here, you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Anyone here like that? Anyone here like that? Father, we thank you for the gift of salvation. We thank you, Lord, for calling us, O Lord, to be partakers of your kingdom. We thank you for our salvation. We thank you, Lord. May we continue to walk with you in Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't you clap for Jesus as you take your seats? You may be seated.
We hope you have been blessed immensely by this message. Join us at 1734 Williamsbridge Road in the Bronx on Sunday afternoons and Tuesday evenings. For copies of this and other messages, contact us via email at lci.bronx@gmail.com.